Do y'all know it's sleeting? Yeah. Then kids been praying for snow, which we only prayed for one, so I don't know if we'll get any more or not. But God's good, amen? All the time. Let's just tell him that this morning. Let's just give the Lord just a few minutes of praise. Has he ever healed your body? Then you should be so thankful. Are you saved this morning? Same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead abides in you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody don't have that. Thank you, Lord. Are you well this morning? Are you being attacked of the enemy? Woo, glory. You better shout even louder. Glory to God. We praise him because he's good, amen, and because he's God. You know, I have thought before when life was just seemed to be so messed up and everything and being a praise and worship service and think to myself, but God, how can I when it feels like my life is falling apart? Do you understand that's what faith really is? Those are the times that you really use it. When you feel like you're alone and you tell the Lord, but God, you said you'd never leave me. Thank you, God. Thank you, right? The Bible says that giving thanks at all times in everything is the will of God. Do you realize you can't be thanking and praising God and thinking and crying about your problems at the same time? Whatever you magnify or whoever you magnify gets bigger, amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. So good at all times. I just don't think we just did that enough. Now, no, don't make me ask for something. Don't make me ask y'all to get up and dance and all that stuff. Oh, y'all want to do something now, do you? When I talk about dancing and getting up, moving around, now y'all want to clap. Hey, we clap for the president. We clap for Brother Josh the other night, right? But we praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. No one like him. Ooh, title this morning, Spiritual Warfare. We just did some. See, a lot of people, when they're carnal, they think spiritual warfare is kind of like just walking around your house, pulling down strongholds of demons over this city, and that's the most, the greatest warfare you will ever do is on yourself, in your mind. It's kind of like I heard a story about a ship one time. I don't remember the whole thing, but I remember him talking about how that the waves, you can have great swelling waves when you're in the ocean in a big ship, you know, and it moves you up and it moves you down and all around. But you cannot sink the ship if the water don't get on the inside. That's what spiritual warfare is about. Because you got the enemy coming at you. I mean, like this, I have had the worst week I have had in I don't know how long. Woo, glory, I made it. I'm still here. You're still here, amen? If the devil could have took you out, he would have a long time ago. So don't let him fool you. He can't. Not unless you let him. Get my glasses on, see what I got wrote down here. Yeah, I just said that. Our greatest battles will be in your mind. Because how many knows your mind is the place where you decide? Now, I know your will is in there. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, your spirit's been born again, but your mind has to be renewed to the Word of God, to think like God. Now, in your heart, in your spirit, in other words, you believe God. The Word of God's in there. You believe God, but how many knows? Then you got circumstances, situations, people, and sometimes in here, thoughts of the enemy that are coming at all times, right? So this is the place where you reason. And how many knows that if Eve had not reasoned in the garden, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in? So guess what, man? You don't can't reason either. We stick with the Word. When it feels like you're alone, what's the Word say? Y'all come on, tell me. Never leave me. Never forsake. I'm never alone. The Spirit of God lives in me. I cannot be alone. He said he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. But what about when I feel like it? It don't matter how you feel. Faith doesn't feel. Faith says what the Word says. It believes what the Word says. Why? Because God is faithful and he is true to his promises. If he said he'd never leave you, I don't care. David said, lo, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. There's nowhere that you can go that God is not. Now, he ain't always manifesting everywhere, but he is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. At all times, and the devil cannot be. So the warfare I want to talk about this morning is the one that comes to our minds. And probably all of these are very familiar scriptures to most of us, or maybe all of us. But how many knows you can quote it, but if you don't do it, it don't do you a bit of good. According to James 1:22, the Bible says, if we hear the word and don't do the word, we deceive our own selves. Devil don't even have to be involved in that. So I don't want to be one of those that are deceiving myself. So I've got to do the word, right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. I believe it's 365 times the Bible says, fear not. That's for our benefit. Because the thing about it is, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, perfect or mature love cast out fear. Why? Fear has torment. Anytime you yield to fear, fear-filled thoughts, fear-filled feelings, you open the door and you give place to the devil, and you better believe he will come in wide open. That's why the Bible says, don't fear. It's for our benefit, not for God's benefit. Don't fear. But there's something I want to tell you this morning that well, maybe it hasn't been talked about very much, dread. Do you know dread is actually a form of fear, just like jealousy is a form of fear? Yeah, jealousy is you fear somebody likes, somebody that you care about likes something somebody else has got, or they think they're better, whatever the case might be. But dread is the same thing, because if you dread, there's a certain amount of fear in dread. Why would you be dreading? I really just don't feel like doing that. Really just don't want to do that. Oh, what about what this and what about that? It's called dread, but it's actually fear, and it'll open the door to the enemy. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I got this in the Amplified, don't I? Yeah. Verse 3, it says, for though we walk, we live in the flesh. Y'all understand that, right? This physical body. Used to fight with your fists, knives, guns, broom handles, whatever you could get. We don't fight that way anymore. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle that we're in. We're not in a carnal or fleshly battle. He says, for though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons, like we would say knives, guns, or whatever. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, talking about the Christians, are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings, where do you have those? In the mind. Right? You have thoughts and reasonings, all that in your mind. It says, in every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought. What does that say every now and then? See, in order for the devil not to get something on you, you got to be right every time. Do you hear what I said? You got to be right every time. Now, if you don't and you mess up, how many knows there's mercy, there's grace, but you got to repent of whatever opened the door. That way you close the door on the devil, right, and you get your deliverance. Do you understand salvation is a package deal? You've already, if you're born again, you've already been delivered, according to Colossians, from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. So he has no power over you if you've been born again. But if you yield your power, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. He suggested things, right? He'll suggest things to your mind, give you some feelings to go along with it, give you something out here to look at, have people say certain words to you and different things like that. You understand? Anybody can be used of the devil at any time. All you got to do is just yield to him, right? But he says there, he says, we bring every thought. Somebody say that. Every thought. It may be 50 times in an hour till you get the victory. But listen to me, he cannot keep up an assault for very long. And we already have the victory, right? We're not fighting to obtain victory. Jesus already won the victory and gave it to us. The Bible says, in his name, right? Every knee has to bow. All principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world has been stripped of all power and authority over us, right? Amen. So he says there, true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So what's that mean? Just like we already said, if I feel lonely, what does the Word say? So you always got to go back to what God said. Why? He's faithful and he's true to his promises. If we hang on to them, if we believe them. So when you're having thoughts and feelings, I mean, I just like this, say you're married or you got a boyfriend or it could even be your parents or anything. Nobody loves you. I know y'all never hear that one. And if he tells you those things about the people that you love, according to 1 John 4:18, they're tormenting. Right? Fear always has torment. How can I tell when something is spiritual warfare or not? Because we all fight battles that sometimes the devil ain't even in. Right? We have everyday life. We live in a fallen world. Good things happen to bad things happen to good people, just like good things sometimes happen to bad people, right? So one of the ways that I can tell, because I try to keep my mind at all times. I don't keep it at all times, but I try to keep my mind. I try to keep my mind renewed to the Word of God and think in line with the Word of God about things just when I get up in the morning. You know, the Bible says, let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't feel like it. That's the time you better do it the most. But it's the time you're not going to want to do it the most. Everybody knows when you don't feel good or something, or sickness is attacking you, it feels good just to lay down on the couch and turn on the TV, whatever that it is, and it ain't preaching. That's not going to help you. Because whichever one you feed is the one that's going to get stronger. If you feed the spirit man, he'll get stronger. And the Bible says, according to Proverbs, that it's that strong spirit of a man is the one that's going to sustain him in times of trouble and weaknesses and infirmities, not a strong flesh. Jesus told the disciples when he come back, he told them to pray, and he come back, he said, can you not pray with me 1 hour? He said, yet the spirit is willing, but it is the flesh that is weak. The weakness is always in the flesh. So I try to keep my mind on the Lord, and I have a certain routine that I go through and certain thoughts and ways that I think about things. Excuse me. Usually one of the ways that I can tell, and sometimes it may take me a minute, like this time. I was surprised that one slipped in on me. But anyway, is my thoughts. Like this week, I started having some of the most ungodly thoughts, most fear-filled thoughts, most tormenting thoughts. And it took me a minute, you know, or a little bit to catch on, you know, just going about life or what. How many knows you got an internal thing going on the inside of you, right? You hear things. You hear yourself. You hear God. You hear the lies of the enemy, right, coming to your thoughts. You can't stop the thoughts from coming, but it's ones you choose to think on are the ones that you let get in, or if you don't catch them. Why? Because your ear gate and your eye gate is the way to your heart, right, according to the Word. So whenever I start having thoughts that are full of fear or just fearful thoughts or tormenting thoughts about something or somebody, or I know I'm in spiritual warfare. Why? I don't think like that. And one of the ways that the devil can get them in is let you think it's just you. This is what I think about this. This is how it is. You feel like death, so he's trying to get you to believe in your heart that you're dying. When God says you're going to live and not die and declare the works and the glory of God, right? Amen? So that's the time that you got to say that. So when you have those thoughts or whatever, you have to recognize those thoughts and say, no, those are not me. Those are not God. So I know who those are because they don't line up with the Word. Therefore, nope, nope, nope. We don't think on these thoughts. And come back with whatever the Word says about it. If you feel lonely or whatever, or you feel like, or the devil's telling you nobody loves you, the Bible says over and over and over, God loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his only son for you. Amen? The Bible says there's nothing that we can do to make God not love us. Now, he's not pleased with everything we do, but there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. He gave everything he had for you while you were yet a sinner. How much more that now you belong to him? Amen? But you got to cast these thoughts down. You can't just let them go. Because the longer they go, how many knows, they get in the heart. And the Bible says that our heart is like a garden, and that's a seed, and you're letting it in. Do you understand some seeds are almost instantaneous in the spirit? And then there's others, they may have to wait a long time, depending on how good that ground is a lot of times and how much you fertilize it, right? But he says, take every thought into captivity. If you don't take the thought into captivity, it will take you into captivity. And the devil is a hard taskmaster. Let's look at First Peter 5. Glory to God. We just love you, Lord. We just praise you, God, and give you thanks. Because everything in our life is good, no, God, but because you're good. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all, right? Sometimes he don't take you out of them. He delivers you in them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed in the fire. But the Bible says one and like unto the Son of Man showed up in there with them, right? Not even the smell of smoke was on them. Listen, whatever the enemy sends towards you, use it. use it just like somebody that's working out with barbells or something with dumbbells would use it, right? Let that thing take you higher. Don't let it take you over. And that's the point of it. See, there's things that comes in our life. God means everything because he's given us the victory over everything. There's nothing that could come against you that we don't already have the victory over, right? But it's us enforcing that victory. Staying in the arena of faith is what keeps us in that victory, amen? According to 1 John 5:4, this is the victory, right, that overcometh, right, the world, what? Even our faith. That's our trust in him, our confidence in him, and his faithfulness to his word. He's never lied. His word has been proven. It's tried. It's tested. It's been proven, amen, at all times. Woo! We can praise him because he's faithful. I may be faithless, but he's faithful at all times. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I got this in the Amplified. He says, therefore, humble yourselves. Demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God. Now, this doesn't mean calling yourself a worm or looking at yourself lowly or whatever. It's thinking and talking in right relationship to what the Word says that we are. The Bible says, in Christ, I am the righteousness of God. Right? Not in me, not you and yourself, but it's in him, right? So in order to be humble, I think in line with that. Not that I'm nothing. I am the righteous, but it's only in him. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He says, humble yourselves. He says that in due time he may exalt you, meaning you might be in a lowly place, right? He goes on, and listen, it's actually pride for you to try to carry things. You was not made to carry anything. You was made to praise God, worship God, obey God, right? Amen? And he says, casting the whole of your care. This is where it comes in the thoughts. He says, all your anxieties. That's dread. That's fear. You understand that? He says, casting all your anxieties, all your worries. Somebody says, well, I don't know what worry is. I mean, I don't know what meditate is. You ever think on something more than once? Yeah. Worry is nothing more than thinking or meditating on the wrong thing. And we're called to think on and to meditate on God's word, right? But not the lies of the devil. So he says there, he says, casting all your anxieties, all your worries, even if you're just concerned about something. He says, once and for all, on him. Why? For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Bam, devil. I thought you said nobody loved me. God loves me. He cares for me affectionately, right? And watchfully. It says, for I am well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that you can't ever take a spiritual vacation. The devil eats your lunch. He says, for that enemy of yours, mine, not God's. God doesn't have any enemies. They are already defeated. Right? Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, right? There was no tumbling around in heaven when God and Satan, God said, get out of here. He just left. He says, I'm well-balanced, temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, and he tells you who he is, the devil, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your co-workers, not your boss. It says, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. That tells me he's looking. He can't everybody. He's got to find a place. The Bible says in Ephesians, give him no place, right? And if we cast all of our care over on the Lord, then he has no place with anxiety or worry or fear. Notice it says, withstand him. Or you could say, resist him. How? Firm in faith against his own set. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. He says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, strengthen and settle you. Notice what that latter part of that, all the things that he said. But how many knows if you don't cast your care on him? You just think those thoughts and let those feelings run wild. Because see, your thoughts become your words, and then your words become your actions, and your actions become your life. That's just the way that is. That is the way that we are made. So if you don't stop it in the thought, more than likely you're not going to stop it in the mouth. Why? The mouth, the Bible says in Matthew 12, speaks whatever is in the heart in abundance. If your heart is full of bitterness, bitterness is what's going to come out of your mouth. Why? Because that's what's in the heart. If your heart is full of faith-filled words, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen? So that's determined by me and you, not by God. Let's look here at Ephesians 5. So you might be sitting here this morning and say, I know this. Look out for next week. Well, don't prophesy that over me. I don't have to. Jesus already did. He said, as long as we live in this world, what? Woo, we got to walk in the park. What did he say? You will have trouble. Tests, trials, temptations, persecutions, right? Especially if you're going to live godly, the Bible says. You're going to suffer persecution. And if you're going to have some money. I didn't just say that, did I? You're not supposed to have money. The Bible says he'll make you the head and not the tail. Well, sister, I'm still the tail. Stop saying that. If you believe you're the tail, you're going to say it. If you believe God's word that he's made you the head, regardless of what you see, what you feel, what your bank account says, what your billfold says. That's why Scotty tells the story about he's listening to preaching and he got so stirred up in faith on the inside. How many knows when you get stirred, you can't help yourself. He grabs up his billfold. I mean, it's probably 10 or later at night. Grabs up his billfold and his underwear and just takes off out the door and just runs around and around and around the house probably 2 or 3 times. He can't. Why? He believed that. We're so broke we can't even hardly pay attention. At this time, this is when we are eating the pinto beans 3 times a day because that's all we have, and you can get a bag for cheap. Y'all not saying nothing. You're saying that's what faith does. If you already call it because you see it, then it cannot be faith. It's already manifested. So faith is you do it when it don't feel like it. You say it when it looks contrary. Amen? But everything the devil says will tell you, feel this, look at this. They said this. They didn't make it. How can you make it? I make it because he told me I can. Right? He told me I have the. I'm not concerned about everybody else. I don't know what everybody else does. Do you understand unforgiveness can stop you right dead in your tracks? The Bible says in Mark 11, when you stand praying there, after he got through with all the faith confessions and different things that you could have, if you believe it and you say it out of your mouth, you can have it, right? Next thing, forgive. When you stand praying, why? Because that's a wrong spirit and you've opened the door to the devil. And we don't want to do that. Does that mean that they go free? Absolutely not. Vengeance is the Lord's. If they need repayment, he'll do something with them. And I guarantee you, he can do more than you can. What do we read, Ephesians, or do we get there? Oh, we ain't got there yet? Oh, that's the way I like it, when it's just rolling, rolling, rolling. Right? Yeah. Ephesians is that way. Last week was dragon, dragon, dragon. I don't like that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is just for time's sake. Y'all can go back and read the whole thing, and I got this in the Amplified. Therefore, he says, talking about the Lord, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine. Make day dawn upon you and give you light. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully. Listen, set your clock and get up at a certain time. I deliver to the project houses, and a lot of them are elderly. A lot of them nowadays are not. They're younger, but a lot of them over the years have been elderly. And a lot of times when they get to a certain age and they retire and stuff, they kind of like they live with no purpose. They'll just sleep till 10, 11, 12 o'clock, stay up all night, go over to their neighbor's house and gossip a while, and then run over. You still got a purpose regardless of your age. God never does away with your calling and your purpose. Excuse me. I heard a story about a lady one time, an elderly lady. I think she might have been in her 80s. Went to a pretty good-sized church. And she felt like she didn't have any purpose or anything, you know. And her heart, she just loved the Lord and loved people and wanted to do for people and, you know, and help. And she couldn't get around real good and stuff like that, you know. So she couldn't help a lot physically and stuff like that. So she started praying and asked God to give her ideas and creative ways to be a help to the body. You know what she done? She started making coupon books for families in the church. I'm talking about books like we have our songs in up here and cutting out coupons and putting in these books. She started saving these families hundreds of dollars a month and giving these coupons to these families. I would have never thought of that, would you? That's a wonderful thing to save people money, ain't it? And you would have not have thought in your 80s you could be doing that, right? But my point to the whole thing is, what if she just didn't get up? What if she didn't even go to church? Oh, well, you know, it don't matter. Everybody has a purpose, regardless of your age. Just like the young kids, they have purpose. Amen? So he says there, he says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise. The wise prepares, right? They think ahead. He says, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Now notice he's going to tell you how. He says, speak out to one another in psalms, and you can do this to yourselves. He says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, making melody with all your heart to the Lord. He says, at all times, when things are good, when things are bad, things look like they're never going to change. He says, at all times and for everything. Now, does that mean I give God thanks for sickness and disease? Absolutely not. I give God thanks when sickness and disease attacks me that I'm the healed of the Lord. He says, in everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. But notice he said there, be filled with the Spirit. You understand we're kind of like leaky vessels? Brother Brad used to tell us we're like leaky vessels. It's got to be filled back up every day. Why? Because you only got so much spiritual strength. You only got so much energy and all of that. How many knows that's why we should do God the first part of the day if we can? Before we get to the last part of the day and we went through all of our stuff and we're tired and, oh, we're so sleepy. So if we can, we give God the first part. While we're fresh, right? And we thank Him at all times for all things. Not because I'm going through hard things, but thank you, Lord, you're always with me. You never leave me. You never forsake me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're my counselor. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom, God. You said if any man lacked wisdom, let him ask of you. That would not upbraid us, right? But would give to us liberally, right? Not hold anything back from us. But we got to ask Him. And we got to ask Him how? He says ask Him in faith. Nothing wavering. You know that He will. Why? Because He said that He would, regardless of how you feel and what the devil says. And you praise Him. You understand? This is a weapon. The Bible says our weapons, they're not carnal. And it's not just the Word of God, but it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that you start making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because how many knows you can be going through what seems like hell in the hallway. Just close your eyes and start praising and worshiping God out of your heart and just singing songs to Him. I don't care. I just made up songs before. I don't know whether they rhymed, went together, they didn't. I don't care. That's what was in my heart, so that's what's coming out. And before you know it, you don't even think or see the problems that you have. See, that's keeping the water out of your ship. But it's when you let those thoughts get on the inside of you, telling you nobody loves you. You poor little thing, nobody loves you. And this is one of the things the flesh loves. No, they really don't, do they? If Scotty really loved me, he would kiss me on my forehead and bring me a dozen roses every day and a box of chocolates. He should be so thankful for me. You poor thing. It's called a pity party. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. You got to choose which one you're going to be. And the devil's counting on you choosing to be pitiful. But God is counting on us choosing to be powerful. He's already won the victory. All we have to do is enforce it. That over there, 1 Peter 5:7, when I read that just about every day, when I get done with that, I say, and I enforce his defeat, talking about the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen? He's under your feet, but you got to keep him there. Let's look at Philippians. What's that over there, James? It just made me think of it. I didn't have that wrote down whenever I was reading that. Let's say, if any of you is merry, do what? Does it say sing psalms? I can't remember now. I'm just going to go over and look at this. See, I'll go to Philippians. I'm going to James right quick. Now I want to know what that said. Yeah. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, or suffering evil? Are you? If you are, he says, pray. Well, I need to go get somebody to pray for me. That's not what it says. It says, if you're being ill-treated and you're suffering, it says, you pray, right? And the Bible says over there in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 5, it says, if we ask anything according to his will, then we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions we've asked of him, right? So therefore, we pray and we believe we receive it. He says, if anyone is, he should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Our heart should be glad at all times. The Bible says, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Right? Who can lift that thing up? And how many knows you never have to be dry spiritually? You never have to be weak spiritually? You never have to be where your heart is not full of joy toward the Lord? Your circumstances can be just hell. I mean, seems like the devil's just running rampant. But on the inside, it's a fruit of the Spirit. You can have the joy of the Lord at all times. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why do you think the devil wants to steal it so bad? To make you weak. Let me finish reading that. That's good. It says, anyone among you sick, he should call in the church elders. Didn't say for the church elders to call you. We don't know where you are. We don't know you sick. Oh, gosh. I go into meddling now, huh? Let's just move on, because we don't want nothing that we should do. He says, anyone among you sick, he should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. He says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses. We all have them. We don't focus on them, but we all have them. And he goes on and he says here, and pray also for one another that you may be healed. Did you know the Bible says in Proverbs, if you'll water, you will be watered? Sometimes another part of spiritual warfare, sometimes when you're having a really hard time, things is not good, you don't feel good, thoughts are bombarding you, find you somebody that's worse off than you. And I guarantee you it won't take you long. As bad as you think things are for you, there's always somebody out there that's worse. Find you somebody to minister to. Do you understand whenever you may not feel the anointing, not sense God's presence or anything, and find somebody and just start letting the Lord love people through you? How many, you are the water hose and you get wet. You cannot be used by the anointing and not be anointed and it change you on the inside. So he says, he that waters, you will be watered. But he that don't water, you're going to stay high and dry. Y'all didn't say nothing. I didn't say that. If one way is true, ain't the opposite the true too? If I water, I'll be watered, but if I don't, I'll stay dry. I told y'all Philippians 4, right? You might think, well, you don't even know what you're doing. Well, good, I'm enjoying myself. Leave me alone. I have nothing together except what he gives me anyway. Oh, me. This is in the Amplified. Philippians chapter 4, and for time's sake, we're going to start in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord every now and then when your circumstances is good. What? Oh, so this is how we practice this, right? We get up in the morning, you feel worse, lower than a snake's belly in a rag and what? Rut, but you do what? Glory to God! Y'all didn't hear what I said. See, if you really heard what I said and you do it, you are excited. Because you know you have experienced that when you have done it, things changed.
Things out here don't change. You change. See, a lot of times we think God wants us to worship Him, praise Him, and all this for His benefit because, you know, He's got a God complex or something. No, He doesn't. It's all for our benefit. Plus, He likes it. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. Well, if He's not there and you want Him there, what do? Praise Him. He said He'll come, right? And the Bible says in James, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's bondage. What? Are you serious? Wherever He is, there's freedom. So if you're experiencing bondage, get Him there. Why? He's the bondage breaker. But He says there, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, my mama just died. Rejoice in the Lord. And if mama's saved, good for mama. She's better off and wouldn't come back here if she could. Right? I mean, she's standing in the very presence of the one we say we long to. Amen? And if they wasn't, you can't change it. But move on to the next one. Do all you can for the next one. But He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, glad in yourselves. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's going to be times ain't nobody going to give you a hug. You may feel like you desperately need one. But they, sometimes there ain't going to be nobody there in the flesh to give you one. They, sometimes there ain't going to be nobody there to encourage you. There ain't nobody there going to be there to pray for you and to lay hands on you when you're sick. But He is always there. The Bible says that He is an ever-present help in time of need. Right? But we got to call on Him. We got to look to Him. The Bible says there, rejoice always at all times. I glad in my own heart. He says, delight, gladden yourselves in Him, not in my circumstances, not in me, not in my husband. Right? In Him. And He says, in case you didn't get it the first time, I say it again. He said, rejoice. Just look foolish. I mean, really. What, some of us, we don't want to look foolish. I'm telling you, there's times just like this morning. I had to do it this morning because it's still there, and that's okay. No weapon formed against me prospers. If it did, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing this morning. And everything I'm telling you is by faith. Like I told you, I had the worst week this week that I have had in a long, long time. But the devil, is that all you got? That's all he's got. That's all he's got, and he can't even keep that up for long, amen? So you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. Listen to me. There's no reason that a child of God should be oppressed and depressed of the devil. The Bible says over there, and I believe it's Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, doing what? Going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That don't mean just sickness and disease. Do you understand? Oppression is the first thing that thoughts come from. You let those thoughts start getting in you, you start feeling oppressed. You start getting oppressed. And if you don't get that off of you, the next thing is depressed. Those are the places where you don't want on the bed, you want under the bed, in the dark. Nobody see you. Lay around there with the TV on. Don't want to talk to nobody. You understand that's not of God, and that doesn't have to happen to you. If that's happening to you, it's because you opened the door somewhere. Now, you may not be ignorant of it, not know you opened the door anywhere, but repent and tell God, God, wherever I open the door, Lord, I repent of it. Close it right now. And help me, God, I'm going to follow you. Amen? So, I mean, God's people should not be on a bunch of oppression and anxiety and depression pills. And I'm not downing you if you are. I'm telling you, if you are right now, you can come out. You can come off. We've seen it. Where do we get to? Oh, yeah, we just got started, didn't we? Ah, gladden myself in the Lord. It says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. Well, they ought to do for me. I don't feel good. What did he say? Let all people see it. When you feel like cursing, what do? You bless. Right? When you feel like, the Bible says, overcome evil how? Evil for evil? With good. You don't feel like blessing somebody, you feel like they should bless you, bless them. Right? He says there, unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit, the Lord is near, He is coming soon. Do not fret. That would be anxiety, right? or have, or he says anxiety, or any have any anxiety about what? Not my kids, not my grandkids, not my job, not my bills, not my health. Nothing. Why? Because you're going to give place to the devil. Any kind of dread, anxiety, fear, I don't care who it is, what it's about, you're going to open the door for the devil, and he will come in and torment you. He goes on, he says, but in every circumstance and in everything, and he ain't kidding, he means everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, what? With thanksgiving. Faith always give thanks because it sees it's done. It says, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, oh, he says, shall be yours. But do you realize you got to do the first part of this to get the second? If I'm not doing the first, that's why I don't have no peace. But I can change it. Amen? You can change it. He says, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding. That's like when they called me and told me that my brother, that makes me think of this. My brother-in-law, my sister, my brother-in-law had had a wreck and he had passed away instantly. I'm telling you, I went back in the house because my phone, I have to go outside on the porch in the little corner. My phone don't pick up good. I come back in the house and I'm laughing. And I'm telling Scotty about it. Now, I am laughing out of my spirit. My brother-in-law was born again. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. None of us are. But I believe he was born again. He loved the Lord, so I know where he's at. But anyway, I'm laughing, and I can't quit laughing, and I'm telling Scotty about it and what Mama told me and all of that, you know, and I'm just laughing. Now, when I was laughing, this verse come to me, and it talks about the peace of God. It says that passes all understanding. What that, I had a revelation of that like never before. Because I told Scotty, I said, I don't know why I'm laughing. I said, this is the craziest thing. I even felt bad nearly because I'm laughing. Why? Because my mind, my understanding is telling me, this is not a time to laugh. This is not a time to rejoice. This is a time you should be crying. But it's that peace in here, not up here. It'll surpass this up here. Because this up here is saying, you should be sad. This should be a problem to you. But your spirit is saying, no, we rejoice. Glory to God. God's good. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And that's of the spirit. You can't fake that. And it's not of the head. It passes what you get in your head. He goes on and he says here, let me see where I got to. Transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, now if there's anything else, in other words, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, he says, think on and weigh and take account of these things. He says, fix your minds on them. The Bible says in Colossians 3 over there, it says, set your minds on things above. Why? Because if you set your mind on the things down here, that's the things of the flesh and the things that gratify the flesh, they're going to bring you spiritual death, Romans 8 says. And we don't want that. The Bible says to put on the mind of Christ is life and peace, right? We want life and we want peace. He says, think on these. So if you don't know what to think on, write them down. And any time a thought comes to you that you go off his checklist, is that lovely? Yeah. Is that good? No, that's not good. Cross it out. Nope. Throw it out. We don't think on this. Why? It's not good. If it's not wholesome, if it's not good, if it's not lovely, well, the doctor gave me this report. No, 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 no. Care what the doctor says. If it's not a good report, we don't think on it, right? We didn't say it couldn't be so in the natural. I don't deny that it's there, but I deny the right for it to stay there, and I'm not going to think on that. I'm going to think on the good report. Isaiah 53, right? He's already bore all my sins, my burdens, my sicknesses, my disease, right? Everything. So then I think on that. And he goes on here in verse 9, he says, practice. Oh, we don't want to hear that in the church today. We want Jesus to do it all. God's in control. Really?
What'd you eat for breakfast, Sandy? Was God in control of that? What'd you eat, Johnny? Golly, Mom. I don't even tell y'all what I ate. Scotty's a good cook, especially on Sunday. He even cooked me an egg and I ate it this morning. I usually don't eat the egg, but anyway. He was in control of that. Scotty! It's your fault. No, my point to that is God is not in control. Now, God's in control. He's done prophesied how everything's going to end up. And he's going to work everything to that place. But how many knows God's not in control? God wasn't in control of me wearing this shirt this morning unless I let him be. Now, I looked on the inside and I felt this shirt, so that's what we wore. But if you don't give him place in your life, he has no control there, right? So he says, practice. What's that mean? It means I'm going to have to do it. If I'm going to practice, right? Y'all practiced baseball before, hadn't you? Yeah, you go out there, you throw the ball, you try to hit the ball, you run the bases, all that stuff. It's called practice. And if you don't do that, if you just go sit on the bench, did you practice? No. Same thing with us. He says, practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Awesome to me. Now, my time is up. I'm going to have to stop. But quickly, if there's anybody here this morning, you've been having this problem and you want me to pray for you, you come up here and I will.